Okay, and we're live. Hi, everyone. This is Sarah, and welcome to week two of the Envision Process class. I hope you all have had a chance to go onto your Oracle School platform and get acquainted with this wonderful material that Colette has provided for all of us, and that you've perhaps had a chance to listen to the week one call, because that's what the live calls are for. They really help us to understand how to implement this wonderful material into our personal development and what it looks like when I coach people. So I know we do have a few people who weren't here last week that have joining us, so I'm going to go ahead and review some of the housekeeping to make sure that we all are oriented to the class and how it works, so that we can get the most out of our 5 weeks when we're live together. So the live class, when we're all together, runs for 5 weeks, and then we still are stay connected on the Facebook page, which stays open for an additional month or 4 weeks after the class to make sure that we have time to catch up for questions. So I don't want you to feel too rushed if you fall a little bit behind. There's always going to be an opportunity for an entire month afterward to ask your questions. And then also, if you haven't seen my original welcome post, which reviews the process of the class, I invite you to take a look at that. You can just search my name or announcements on the Facebook page, and I've printed it out nice and clearly there for you. And the way that the class works is that access to each module on your Oracle School platform comes out on Mondays. You should get an email that alerts you to that and links you right to it. And then we don't have our live class until today on Thursdays. So you get, you know, 3.5 days to go ahead and go in there and review the information, and then you can tune in here, and I also will review it just using my own words to enhance the information that Colette has given you. And then also we switch over to live coaching to help give examples on how the Envision process can shift us really, really quickly. And I invite you to follow along with me on how that goes, and then you can begin to implement and put everything together. So that's basically how it goes. And to review, what I'm going to do today is what I'll do every week is I'm going to, in the first half of our call, just review the material for this week. And then I'm going to ask if there's any questions specifically about the material. And if there is any confusion or if you'd like me to clarify anything, I'm happy to do that. Then we take just a moment to center ourselves in our energy, and we shift into the coaching portion, where I'll have you raise your hands and I'll take volunteers to demonstrate how we use Envision each week. So my role is to teach you how the Envision process can be a wonderful tool for personal development. Even though it says used for coaching, that's how it was originally intended. It absolutely can be used as a tool for personal development. And then to clarify as well, because there was a couple of questions that came up, I don't provide intuitive readings, and I also don't bring the cards into this class. There's enough for us to cover just on Envision alone, and those two things are not really in my wheelhouse. You can bring those into it on your own, but that's not what I'm going to be doing for this class. So I just stay focused on teaching the process and how to use it, and for you to experience the powerful shifts specifically with Envision. Also, if you have any technical difficulties, like you're not receiving emails or something like that, I can't help you with that. You're going to have to email Jill at ColetteBaronReed.com, and she'll be able to help you with any technical issues that you're having. So I hope that, you know, orients anybody who was a little bit confused about how this is working, and I hope that answers your questions on just the orientation of how the flow of the class goes. So having said that, I'm going to go ahead and dive right into lesson two, which is the where am I question. This where am I question is the fundamental question of Envision, and what it really does is take that, you know, get on your bird exercise that I think many of you are familiar with, and breaks it down into the depth of the eco-psychology and of the active imagination components and of the rewiring of the brain, and shows you how powerful it can be and why it's so effective to shift. And so it's not just a quick, it can be, the get on your bird exercise can be used as a quick way to feel better, but there's so much more depth to it that that's what we're going to dive into a lot more deeply today. So to begin, I'm going to go ahead and review each step of the Envision process, because each step does serve a purpose and they're in your material on the platform, but I'm going to go ahead and review them with you here. So let's just take a moment to remember what are we doing when we're doing the Get On Your Bird process, which is just a small derivative of the Envision process, so that we can understand why we're doing what we're doing and how powerful it is. And the first step is we determine our state of mind. And so basically this comes about when someone raises their hand and I say, how can I help you? Or what's going on with you? And you can ask that of yourself, like, what do I feel like I need help with? Or what's going on with me? So when we ask that question, we help determine what state of mind am I in? And it requires us to focus onto one thing instead of us being really scattered or completely stuck in a story of a past or of, you know, a real explanation about something. And it helps us to really zero in and ask ourselves, you know, what's going on? What do I feel like I need help with? Or a more fundamental question, which is going to come next, is I wonder where I am emotionally, because as we learned last week, the primary environment that we live in is not our external circumstances. It's not the external environment. It's the internal environment of our mind. And so we want to focus in on that. So first we just kind of ask that, where am I? Like, what's going on with me? And once we kind of have an idea of what's going on with me, like, let's just say I am all over the place. I'm all over the place. That's what's going on with me. Well, given that, let's move on to step two, which is I want to distill what's going on with me into some emotions. And I want to really key into how am I feeling? This is a critical step because there's a real power in being able to identify and name what we are feeling. When we're able to do that, it takes us out of being in a disempowered or victimized relationship with our feelings and brings it more into an equanimity or choice power place with our feelings. Just being able to identify and name is incredibly powerful. It gets us out of enmeshment. So here in step two, we take a moment to ask, given that I'm all over the place, or given that I feel like a couple of things that came up on the Facebook post this week were, I'm a hot mess. So let's just use that phrase and say, given that I'm a hot mess, what am I feeling when I'm a hot mess? And then we tune on in and be able to name that. And I just want to encourage you to not fear your feelings, to begin to have an empowered relationship with your feelings, where by simply naming them, it actually empowers you instead of scares you. And as an example, for those of you who were on the call last week, I want to remind you that what we worked with was both rage and terror. Now, those seem really scary and they seem really big, but if you were on the call last week, you saw how calmly naming them, how then beginning to look at them with the Envision process, and how calmly and neutrally I held those, that's a very powerful step in the process. So remember that emotions are energy in motion, and the stronger that they are, the more indicative that is that they are being brought forward from the past, and there's something that we've repeated. And it also means the subconscious mind is activated. So we want to be able to name what those emotions are so that we can then turn to describing those feelings in terms of what they would look like if they were a landscape. So that segues us into step three, which is describe the feelings as an environment, a place, a landscape, or a location. We're going to go ahead and use any of those terms. And the environment, the place, the landscape, the location can be indoors, they can be outdoors, it can look natural, it can look cartoonish. What we're doing is we're this question, if this emotion that I'm having, like let's say overwhelmed, if overwhelmed was an actual place or a landscape, I invite my intuition and the collective unconscious to show it to me in the form of a picture or an image so that I can take a look at it. So it's an invitation question rather than a projection question. Okay? This is really the heart of where am I? So again, given that I'm overwhelmed or I'm frustrated or I'm scared or I'm sad, what would that look like if that were a place? Because I am literally in that internal environment, and so I want that internal environment to communicate me in a different way. I want it to communicate with me beyond words and beyond feelings. I want it to show itself to me through the dreaming mind as an image, so that I can get some information and get to know it in a way that I haven't been able to prior to this. So, to review again a little bit about echo psychology and how powerful this is, because we are nature, we come from nature, we are able to see nature. And so our mind is attuned to be able to naturally be able to do that. If prompts are necessary, we go ahead and use those, but in general, they're not. In general, we don't want to make suggestions, and we don't want to guess, and we don't want to get ahead of the process. We want to invite, and we want to receive. What is this landscape? And it's actually really, really powerful. The more surprised you are, the more information that we're getting. Because remember, what we're trying to do here is obtain information that we previously didn't know. We're not trying to get the right answer. We're trying to get information we previously didn't have. So once we receive that information and we have a landscape, and that landscape looks like a jungle, or it looks like it could look like a rocky pit. I've had landscapes that looked like I was on the edge of a coal mine. There are landscapes. I also had one of my landscapes of panic was it looked like a salt mine, and then I started to further describe it, and I was like, it's kind of like a fake town, like you couldn't possibly live there. And you can sort of see what a beautiful representation of panic that is. It absolutely is a fake location. You absolutely cannot live in panic. And it absolutely is an old story of something, right? So that's an example of how that's a given landscape that was not in the natural environment. It actually didn't even look really real to me. It wasn't a real location. I could tell it was fake. That was the best word that I could come up with, okay? So then we have a landscape, whatever it is, that arrives for you. And then once we're at it, we want to ask ourselves, where am I in relation to this landscape? That's one of the questions that I ask. And in doing that, what we're doing is connecting to our observer self, and we begin to experience detachment from the feeling that we just named previously. And so here we inquire further when we're asking, where am I? Now, where am I in relation to the landscape? Because even if I'm right smack in the middle of the landscape, I'm still not the landscape itself. And immediately I'm able to see and experience that I know that this is a place, but it's not me. I'm walking around in panic, but I myself am not panic. I'm walking around or near rage, but I myself am not rage. I am looking at sadness, but I myself am not sadness. And that observer connection and that detachment should immediately help us to feel a little bit better, even when we're uncomfortable in a landscape that we don't really care for. Then we move to step 5, which is to notice the details. And this is where we explore and gather information with as much curiosity as possible. So what do I see as I explore this? What can I name that I see? And as we're naming what we see, like in some of the landscapes from last week that we want to name, there was rocks. We named there was a lot of really thick vegetation. We named that there was, what the weather was like. We can name anything that we see. And then another good question I like to ask is, what do you see if you turn around? We turn around in the landscape and we see, is there something on the other side of it, or am I surrounded by it? What is my orientation to this internal environment that I'm experiencing? Even if I don't like it, even if I'm uncomfortable, I want to get more information about these emotions that I cannot access when I'm just in the feeling of it. Again, when we get surprises, it's really, really helpful. Once we've explored with as much curiosity as possible, and I do want you to try to be a little bit brave and explore with curiosity and not just try to be rescued, because we want to, this whole process is about really improving and rewiring and getting an experience of a lot more empowerment in our relationship to uncomfortable subconscious programming, instead of just a feeling of victimization where the only option is to be rescued. We want to participate in our own relationship and in growing our emotional maturity and in growing our emotional ability to detach and to look and to be aware. We're growing our relationship with our observer self. So we want to do that and practice it as often as we can. And then once we've done what we can, we confirm our desire for distance, and we do that by saying, given that I'm looking around this landscape, would I like to leave it? And it's an important question because it reinforces our power to choose. So again, instead of, you know, wanting to be rescued or just to escape, we really get to see that we do have the choice about the internal environment that we are in, and that we can decide on our own that we would like to leave. And we reaffirm and begin to know more clearly that choice is power, and we always have the power to choose. So we practice this with Envision. It's a great tool, and then we start to see that that might tend to carry over in our life. If I have choice with Envision, do I have choice in my external environment as well? And we find out that we do. So even if we just practice this to remind ourselves that we have choice in our lives, it becomes incredibly worthwhile. It's a big step in shifting from the egoic attached personality to the non-attached chronic observer self, with the capital S, that travels, that where we either travel across landscapes or feelings and emotions cross our paths, but we remain the steady one. So that's, you know, the importance of that step. Then step 7 is we summon a winged creature. And in this lesson, we also learned a little bit more about birds and their symbolic nature. I'm going to go over that in a second. But birds have this deep symbolic meaning that connect to us. They have a power greater than humans. They can fly, something that we can't. It connotes attachment to spirit. It's also been known to help us with survival. I'm going to talk about that again in a little bit further, but the reason that we summon a winged creature is that our mind will provide it for us. So we ask for help from a higher source. We receive it. It shows up. Step 8 is then we describe with curiosity the features of the winged creature that show up. And I use the word creature because it mostly is a bird, but as we all know, it can be a pegasus, it can be a unicorn, it can be a bumblebee. Some people have actually gotten a helicopter. In general, it's natural, but anything that flies is going to work. And then we just take note of it because we're going to look up the symbolism of what showed up for us to get deeper meaning on what we're working with and what the unconscious wants us to learn. Step 9 then is we're going to fly on the back of the creature up into the blue sky. So however this works, there are no rules in active imagination. You can either get smaller so that you can fit on the back of the winged creature that shows up, or the winged creature can get bigger so that when you get on it, it works. Either one of those works, and there's no meaning for either one. It just initiates this next step, which is getting spatial distance instead of just identity distance, which is the first part. We're going to get a bigger spatial distance, okay? So then we fly on the back of the creature into the blue sky. Once we get into the blue sky, then we move to step 10, where we ask, how do we feel? And almost always there's going to be relief. And most of us will feel a lot better. Even if it's just a little better, there's going to be a shift. And we're going to feel it both emotionally and we're going to feel it physically. We're going to sit up in the blue sky for a moment, feel the neutrality of the air and the clearness of just being clear of where we had been stuck in the internal environment, taking a deep breath from where we were to now where we are, which is in a neutral view. And now that we're in the neutral view, step 11 is we measure spatial distance. Another way to say that is we observe it. And here's what we do is we look over the side of the bird and we have a brand new experience of this landscape of what we just were in. Given that we're further away from it, what does it look like now? What does it look like now that we have distance? How big is it? Is there anything around it? What can we see from up here that we couldn't see when we were in the middle of it? We have an actual experience in our mind about looking at this from a very, very different view. And the mind itself and the body doesn't know that it isn't literally real. It's actually experientially real. And this too allows us not only to see and experience differently, but again, to choose curiously information about what we were in that we didn't know before, and then again, get perspective that we didn't have. So the perspective from up here is another important step. We're not just being rescued and running and hiding from our feelings. We're actually gaining information about an environment that's repeating that we want to know a little bit more about and have an observer view of instead of an enmeshed, victimized view of. The next step is radical acceptance. And this is something I didn't cover last week because it wasn't part of the curriculum, but I want to go into a little bit more deeply here. And radical acceptance of the landscape is important because every landscape in the terrain of our lives gets to exist. And so often in all of our lives, what we're really hoping for is literally not possible, because what most of us want is we want what happened in our lives, whether it was just recently or a long time ago, to not have happened. And we get in such resistance to the fact that something did happen that we didn't want to happen, that we spend a lifetime trying to prevent for it happening ever again, and yet that puts us into coherence and we keep repeating it. So we want to radically accept everything that has happened and every emotion that we have had. We want to accept its existence as okay. Because a fundamental stance of resistance is only going to entrench us further into it. And this is where we get that phrase, what we resist persists. And since we don't want since we're trying so hard not to have it happen again, the key is to not resistance. And our ego doesn't like that. But nothing but radical acceptance will actually free us from the patterns that we have. It's radical acceptance is a way to practice transcending what was without words. We do this when we accept the landscapes and the existence of what is. Then we have the power to choose and go and literally be in an environment of something else. We can't do that if we're in constant resistance to what is. The images and the internal experience of the envision process shows us how powerfully true this is. So we don't want to skip over radical acceptance. Every terrain gets to exist. We just get to decide how long or how often we want to stay there and go back there. Now that we have the decision to either stay or leave, we choose step 13, a new possible place. Now, given that I have the power to choose my internal environment, what would I like to experience is the question from here. And this step can actually be used with an unlimited number of emotions and experiences. I can choose to experience any possible landscape in the unlimited unconscious. But for the purpose of teaching and the purpose of this module, we're going to start with a sanctuary. And part of the reason we start with a sanctuary is because so many of us have had the feeling of unsafety for far too long that we want to cultivate an internal environment of safety that we can go to and feel safe, that has nothing to do with our external environment or anybody else. So establishing a sanctuary is one of the first great places to start with. It's just not the only place, and every place isn't a sanctuary. A sanctuary, the name itself, just means a holy, safe, sacred place. Okay? So sanctuary is what we're going to practice first, but any desired outcome is something we can decide we would like to visit. And it's a place to inhabit and get to know on a temporary basis. Okay? So let's use sanctuary as an example. Since we want to feel safe and we want to feel protected and we want to feel like no one else can enter unless we give them permission, we want to have a place that has extraordinary boundaries and security. We have a place that's full of peace and provides us with an ability to think clearly. All of those things are going to be going into the term sanctuary. So we determine that we're going to go to a sanctuary, and then we ask our winged creature to take us there. And as our winged creature is taking us there, we just sort of notice, as we look over the side of the bird, what kind of terrain do we traverse on our way there? How long does it take us to get there? We just want to be curious about that. And when we get there, and our bird takes us there, and we land there, we want to, again, explore this new environment. What do we see here? What's the weather like here? How does it feel here? Are there any other animals there? What kind of vegetation is it? What type of year is it? What type of weather is it? Are there any structures here? Where do I think I belong? Where do I feel most comfortable here? What can I learn about this place? How does it really feel to have this internal place of sanctuary and safety? What do I need to learn about what makes me feel safe? What do I know about this that reflects safety to me? What do I wish was more here? What do I wish was also here? And then we can ask for that, and we can add to it, and we can embellish it. And again, this is just realigning and, creating neural pathways of, I want to remember, I can always ask for what I want. I get to ask, and I get to receive, and I get to choose what I want and what's best for me, and build on that relationship while I'm playing with my intuition and the unlimited unconscious. And then we usually will stay there and remember that feeling and then come out of the experience for step 15, which is the summary and interpretation. And then here is where we realize how really personal and these landscapes are to each of us. And so we then review what were the ahas and what were the deeper interpretations that came up as we experienced it. And we always want to go with, boy, what was my first take on that? What did I get? And because oftentimes it will have something to do sometimes with, oh my gosh, I know exactly what this means. This reminds me of something. And I know how come I received that, because this connected to so many things for me. Like ravens are really important to me, or, maple trees really mean a lot to me, or I love deer, and I know that's why they came up. We want to go with what's personal first. And then secondarily, then we're going to go ahead and type in what is the symbolism of all of these things. And we're going to look at the deeper nature of them. We've also provided a symbolism guide for you and part of your resource list. But I want you to go ahead and explore deeper meanings about what they might mean so that you can cultivate, this relationship that you're having with your intuition and the unconscious. Where are you being asked to grow? What do you need to know to move out of old patterns and into new patterns? How can you clear up, because of being in this process, a new way of being and choosing in your life? So not only do we have new neurophysiology going on because of the experience, and not only are we practicing the power of choice, we then begin the habitual practice of doing this as often as we want to. And we actually see that because we've gone through this, we're actually literally a different person at the end of having experienced this than we were at the beginning of having done it. And then we can choose to behave very, very differently in relationship to our emotions. And we can realize that we can be a different person than just afraid, for example. And we experience this all within a very few short minutes. And we realize that we're really unleashing the genius of our imagination and our intuition when we engage with this process. And we begin to see that the outer world and the external world becomes very different because now we are determining our internal environment. And when we're determining our internal environment and we're having influence and input on where are we internally, then our relationship to our external environment is also going to change because we're in a different position. And everything about where we're looking from our sanctuary and what we're experiencing, we can all agree, is going to be very, very different than looking at the world when I'm at a place of, if I feel my internal environment represents panic and something fake and unreal, my relationship with the external world is going to be very, very different than my internal environment being incredibly calm, clear-headed, relaxed, and intuitively connected to myself. My relationship with people, places, and things is going to be radically different because I'm coming from a radically different place. So those are the 15 steps of envision. I'm going to talk just a little bit more about the bird because she covers that as well. And that is just to say that our ancestral relationship to birds is ancient and primitive. It's embedded in our cultural existence, and the mind will not reject it when we ask for a bird to come to us. Birds represent freedom, and they represent survival because not only because they have the bird's eye view, but they have the ability to find water, to guide us, to lead us, and to help us see from a new perspective. They also easily maneuver and cover vast distances that from a human perspective we feel is too hard or unable to do. And throughout the history of humanity, we also have a deep knowing that below the surface, birds mean something. We're wired to have an intrinsic connection to them. They do represent spirit. They do contain the capacity to fly that we don't have. And we understand on a deep, deep level that they can help us do what we alone cannot do. We're asking it to take us into a new realm, and the type of bird that we receive chooses us. We don't choose it. It will come in a symbolic form, and when we look at that symbolism, we will find out why. It'll take us further into a deep connection with ourselves than our conscious mind can project. So we want to do our best not to hope for a certain bird. We do our best not to project what we want, and we trust that what we receive is even better than what we could have imagined, and we'll find that out once we look up the symbolism. So again, I'm going to say it's really important to remember that this is a conversation first with the unconscious, and then it's a conversation with ourselves or with our clients. So we're always moving to a place of receptivity and curiosity, personal responsibility, and empowerment in every step of this process. The bird also helps us with experiencing spatial distance because this is also a natural, undeniable phenomenon that the subconscious will file, recognize, and continue to accept a bird's eye view. Looking from above shows us immediately that we are already somewhere else, but we are still the same someone. The environment shifted and changed within, but we ourselves are the neutral observer of it all. And as you get the hang of this, either with yourself or with a study buddy, you just practice however, feels right to you. your intuition may begin to take over a little bit more quickly, and you may not have to go through each one of these things linearly step by step. We just want to use them as a guide to get the hang of it rather than think we did it right or wrong, especially if you've been doing this, if this is, you know, the second or the third time that you've taken this class, or if you've been using this on a regular basis, your bird may show right up. You may be able to move through it a lot more quickly. You may skip a step here or there. So what we want to remember as we're engaging the right brain and the unlimited unconscious, which doesn't track linearly. So we begin with the steps as an outline to help us follow rather than as something that must be followed rigidly. We're leaving rigidity behind, and we're trying to engage with as much fun and with as much aha and with as much surprise as possible. Okay? So that was a lot, but that covers, the basic fundamentals of the where am I process. And so right now I'm just going to pause and take a little breath and ask if anybody has a question. So if you have a question simply on the material, this is not the coaching portion yet. This is just on the material. Please press star 2 to raise your hand, or you can post a question in the Facebook thread that I posted for questions, and I will answer that. And I'm also going to look on the webcast to see if there are any questions pointed there, because I'm going to look at that first to make sure I'm looking at that. Okay, I'll answer those in just a second. So these questions were asked quite a bit ago, so I think I answered those questions. So I'm going to call on, it looks like Danny has their hand raised from the webcast. Danny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah,
hi.
You know what? That was a mistake. I didn't.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah, okay. That's okay. I'm going to go ahead and put your hand down, and then if you do want to get coaching in a second, put it back up, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm not seeing any questions. Wait, I see somebody typing. Hang on one second. Thanks for the hellos. So let me just go back to the Q&As, because I don't want to, minimize the people. There's a volume control or hand to be able to click. Carrie's got a question. So there should be an opportunity where you have your panel. There's a volume. It says volume. You just click right on it, and then you slide it over to the right. You should be able to turn the volume up. I'm not quite sure how else to help you with that. And then, yes, Kathy, there are audio downloads, and they're on your Oracle School. So on the Oracle School platform, you will have all of the information there, including the live calls. So you should check your Oracle School there. And if you're having trouble with your platform, you want to go ahead and email Jill. And then Melanie's asking, we select a new destination. The notes say we then visit a sanctuary. Is the new destination the sanctuary? So hopefully that was covered. Hopefully I did cover that for you. So that should have made sense for you guys. Okay. So let me just check the Facebook page here. Question. Kathy got it. Okay. Downloads, not just PDFs. It does say there should be audio downloads. I've already downloaded them. So they should be on there. I can check again. But if you're having trouble again with a platform, right, like they put that whole thing together, I can't really, answer that quite well. So now Dixie's asking, can you talk a little bit more about how this process can still work even if you're not very visual? So yeah, what I can tell you is that just like I gave you the example of my panic, I'm like, I can't quite tell you why I know it's fake, but it's fake. So I didn't quite see it, and it didn't tell me that it was fake. I didn't have a lot of details about it. I got a real sense of it. So you just want to tune into, what is the sense of what I'm feeling? You want to tune in, is there any color to it? Is there any feeling? Like, what is the sense I'm getting from it? Almost like a clairsentience, right? What am I feeling? Or, a claircognizance. What am I knowing? about what's being shown to me. I just am trying to tune in to what's being able to be communicated to me so that I get a sense of it. You don't have to have a lot of detail. You just want to tune in to the communication. So, and whatever you get means something, right? And so, like, let's say I get nothing. I get blank. I get nothing. What does nothing mean? I'm tuning into nothing. I'm asking nothing to show itself a little bit more to me. What does nothing mean to me? What am I getting about nothing? How am I feeling about nothing? What am I getting about blank? How am I feeling about blank? Oh, now I'm feeling sad. I wonder, sad. Can sad show something to me? So you just want to play with it a little bit. You want to be in relationship and you want to be in dialogue with it. And you want to be as listen and as receptive as possible. Because our left brains are going to jump in and they're going to want to know the answer. And they're going to want to outwit, outmaneuver, outmanipulate and give the best answer. And we're literally not interested in that. Because if we could already figure it out, if we could already control, if we could already manipulate, if we could already give the best answer, we'd have already done it. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to create a really safe environment, a really receptive environment to be open to information we didn't have before. And oftentimes we're afraid of the answer. So we're afraid we're going to have to change, or we're afraid we're not going to like it. And I'm just going to invite you to notice through all of these calls and all of the examples, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of. We want to be as neutral as possible and ensure the safest environment possible so that we can really beef up our relationship to our intuition and get to know it and use it as a tool stronger than we were. So hopefully that answers your question. Now I'm looking on the Q&A and I see that Marie has asked, I connect with both eagles and hummingbirds. I'm thinking that one of them will show up when I try this just because I resonate so much with them. That makes me think that my mind would be focusing on that though. I realize I'm feeling stress about what winged creature will come and why, right? So hopefully I also just covered that as well. We want to try to be not stressed. We want to try not to project. We want to try not to get ahead because that's what our literal left brain mind is trying to do, and that's not what we're doing with this process. We're trying to be open. We're trying to be receptive. We're trying to be relational. We're trying to provide safety for what's new and what's unknown. We're literally developing a relationship to the unknown that now becomes positive instead of fearful. Okay, I see a hand went up, and I have a web call from Carol. So, Carol, are you there? Carol, did you raise your hand? I've unmuted you. Nope. I see it got muted back. I'm having trouble unmuting you. Sorry, Carol. Hang on. I'm going to try it again. There we go. Hi, okay. Carol.
Hi. So from what you're saying, then, if you were to go through this process multiple times for the same emotion, say sad, would each time you're allowing the environment to take on its, you know, presence itself, whatever it might be in each situation. It's not like sad will always be this location.
That's correct. That's correct. So in any given moment, we're getting a reflection of what sad is for me right now.
Okay.
And then when we get more information about sad, that goes to show that we might change our relationship to sad. So that next week when we feel sad, sad might look very different because we've already changed. Does that make sense? It may look the same, but it's always reflecting anything in a given emotion. So another example would be, let's say I'm looking at the example, my landscape of love. And my landscape of love reflects back to me something that's just really all I know about love, which isn't very good. So it's just showing me right now what my landscape of love is. It might be showing me I'd like to improve my relationship with love. I'd like to find a little bit more out about love, right?
Right.
And then if I change my relationship with love, if I then cultivate love, in a month from now, when I look at my landscape of love, it might look very, very different because it's reflecting something very different back to me.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a, it's a bit of a mirror.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, great, great question. Thank you for asking that, Carol. Okay, thanks. I'm going to put your hand down. Thank you. Okay, super question. Anybody else have a question about the content? Okay, doesn't look like it. I'm just going to check once more before we switch over. And then I'm going to move. Oh, more hands went up. Sorry, as I'm going from screen to screen, I appreciate all of your patience with me because it's a lot of screens for me to look at as one person. Yep, that's done. Okay, I got another hand up. So I see David. Is that you? It's from San Diego?
Yes, Nicole.
Oh, hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Sorry.
No worries. It's my dad.
Yeah, okay.
So my question is, I have now done it a few times, and I've been doing it like every day since I started the lesson. And
wow.
I seem to go to the same place each time, and it's the same bird. And is that normal or typical, or how does it, is that supposed to change, or?
Well, yeah, so it's not as supposed to, it's a reflection, right? So even in your question, you're saying, I keep going to the same place. So the question would be, let's get more information about the place. And what
I mean,
did
it's
you...
a good place. I'm happy about it. Like, I'm glad to go to this place every time. I mean, it's always been good. But, I mean, and it's, I don't know.
Well, so Nicole, let me ask you then, what place are you going to? Where are you starting with Envision?
So I start in like a, so my bird picks me up and it's a black
where do we begin? Where do you begin?
So I'm in a green field.
Back further. What's the emotion that you start with?
Mm-hmm. Oh, happy. Just peaceful. And just feeling good.
Okay, so I think you know enough about happy. And I don't.
True.
I'm not sure why you want to look at more. Why you're trying to gain more information about happy? What? So let me ask you this:
kind of explore different emotions.
Well, so I get you're not struggling with anything right now, right? And so, I think this is what I would say. You already know that you're happy, and it keeps reflecting that back to you, so it's working. But we want to use this for, we're going after information that we don't have.
Right.
And so when you say it's not that you're always happy, wouldn't you rather know more information about that?
Yeah, true. Definitely.
Yeah. So it's just the choice that you're making about what you want to look at. And so in general,
I think that's exactly it, is that I like looking at the happy, like that's where I'm happy, you know, that's where I want to be. So it's like, I don't want to go to that other point really with it, you know, like I want to stay in that high flying place of just, I don't know.
So we want to drop should, right? You can look at happy as often as you want to, Nicole, right? Right? But I can sense there's a question underneath that, which is I'm kind of afraid of other emotions and I don't really want to look at them.
Totally.
I prefer happy. Right?
Definitely. Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
So so I would just invite you that this process is a way for us to be less afraid of our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would invite you to go ahead and allow yourself to feel what you might be afraid of, including fear, so that you could look at it and not be it, but get a better perspective about it, right?
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes.
You're very welcome. Yeah. So, you know, the mind is only going to reflect back what we're asking, and I just want to encourage you to not be afraid of looking at, like, and again, I'm just going to repeat from last week. Remember, we looked at rage and we looked at terror. And it was fine.
Totally.
Totally fine. So I can't really imagine emotions that are much stronger than rage and terror that we have to be afraid of, right? I get we can feel like we have a depth of sadness or we have a depth of overwhelm that we can't, that we're no match for, but we're not in opposition to it. We're just wanting to bring it into relationship, similar to like an inner child thing. We're providing it the love and the attention and looking at it directly instead of avoiding it. Because when people avoid us, it's not a very good relationship.
Definitely.
Does that make sense?
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yes, totally.
Okay. Yeah, you're
completely.
Very welcome.
I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So thanks for asking questions. I think that helped a lot of people. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Those look like all of the hands and all the questions. So we're going to take a second here to switch over to the coaching. And so Paula's asking, how do I raise my hand? So Paula, if you're on the just the web cast part instead of the web call part, you actually can't raise your question. You can't raise your hand. So I'm sorry about that. You're either going to have to call in with the phone or with Skype or the web call to be able to raise your hand. You know, and all of that information should be on the post that I made about the call tonight. So you can look there for that. So now that we're going to switch over, right, we want to be as calm as possible. And the way to be calm is to stay with ourselves. And so we're going to take a nice deep breath in and exhale. And I want you to get in your body instead of up into your head. And I want you to get deeper in your body than even your solar plexus, where we tend to have like the flutter in our stomach and in our throat, where we feel constricted and a little bit nervous. I want you to get deep into your hips, even into your legs. Try to get down into your thighs even. Get into your body. Sit. Sit into the body. Breathe and sit into the body. And then say, I'm going to remain with myself. I'm safe within myself. I'm safe within my body. I can stay grounded. I'm going to ground into the earth if that feels good to me. Ground into Mother Gaia, who loves and supports me and can hold me still. And now to make sure that we can tell the boundary of me and someone else, I'm just going to call forth different shapes and colors and whatever resonates with you. I want yourself to feel yourself surrounded by this. We're just going to use this as a boundary of knowing who I am, because you don't need protection. You just need to stay with yourself. Okay? So, grounded into Mother Earth, grounded into the middle of the earth, grounded into my body. I'm just going to call forth blue. See how I feel in blue. If I feel good about blue, I'm going to have blue stay. I'm now going to go ahead and call forth pink. And if pink resonates with you, or if you want to do blue and pink together, let's do that. See what your body resonates and feels comfortable in. Now I'm going to call forth green. Green comes upon. How do I feel in green? How do I resonate with that? I'm going to call forth a gold now. How does gold feel? I'm going to call forth now like a platinum or a silver. See how that feels to you. I'm also going to call now forth a magenta or a violet. You can have any or all of those colors. Just surround yourself with what feels the most resonant to you. And now again, to just bring in symbolism of color and shape and sacred geometry, I'm going to call forth circle, bubble, sphere. I'm going to call forth oval, diamond, triangle or pyramid, even like an emerald shape, Merkaba, if you know what that is, we're going to call forth that. And hopefully you're all feeling very, very grounded, very, very within yourself. And we're going to switch over now to the coaching. So it's easiest to demonstrate how this works if we start with things are a little uncomfortable. So go ahead and press star 2 to raise your hand. Or if you're on the web call, there's a little button that actually says raise hand. You want to go ahead and strike that. And then I'm going to begin the coaching portion. And I'm going to remind everybody listening to stay within yourself and to follow me and see what this journey can bring for us all. Okay? Super. Lots of hands going up. I appreciate that. So I'm going to start with a call from Saskatchewan. And the last four numbers are 2178. Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Lorelai.
Lorelai, hi, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I wasn't expecting to be called, so I'm prepared now.
Well, if you press star 2, there's always a chance you're going to get called on. So tell me, though, the impulse to raise your hand. Tell me a little bit about why you thought it might be helpful to be coached.
Well, because it's one area of my life where I keep having the same problem over and over again, and I've done so much work on it, like counseling and, you know, visualization, so many different things, and it's just I'm still in the same place. So I figure I have to have some pattern or something going on here. And it's with regards to my workplace. And it's like I've seen patterns develop over and over again, and I'm almost
Pause for a minute. Great. So, but I just want to, for all of us to learn, right?
Okay.
A lot of talk about the past. And so you're in it. So let's just start with, I'm in a thing with my workplace. What is it? What are you in?
The feeling or?
Well, yeah, or the circumstance or what is it?
I just keep having the same relationship with one person at work that is really toxic. I try to remove myself from...
Pause. We're going deeper in. What is the relationship? We're trying to distill down to what we're working with. What is the relationship?
I don't know how to explain it. I almost feel...
So pause just a sec. Tell me a little bit more about toxic then, because that was a word that came up. Tell me a little bit more about the term toxic and what that means to you.
Very unhealthy. One minute good, one minute bad. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. So I never know who's going to come out or if I'll
so
be...
So pause. I'm going to pause you. Yeah, it's good. I'm just helping you distill. You're doing great. So sorry. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. Tell me more about that, because that's the first feeling. Tell me about the feeling, because we want to center on you, not the person. Right? Because go ahead.
I feel partially fear, partially frozen, but also like I want to push back, but if I do, I know I'm going to feel lousy again, and it takes me out of my place of peace when I'm dealing with this.
Yeah, so let me just go back into, this envision process is like such a 180 from everything we're used to doing, right? So that's why, I just want to help all of us with, when I'm teaching this, what we're trying to distill to. And so this is a feeling that you're having of walking on eggshells, and you're afraid, and there's this feeling of like, it doesn't really matter what I do, it's not going to go well. Is that accurate?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I go into a feeling of hopelessness, and then I'll have a little bit of hope on a good day, and then go back down to, oh, this isn't going to end.
Right, but we're just sticking with the feeling, not a different day. Because the pattern, right? We're sticking with the pattern. So we're walking on eggshells, and we're afraid, and there's not much we can do about it. And this repeats for you. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Really. We're just helping everyone on the call distill what it is. When we're talking about it, what are we talking about? We're talking about this icky feeling. No matter, what the circumstance, the external circumstance, I still have this icky feeling of walking on eggshells, being afraid, not knowing what to do, and then it's going to hopeless, and I can't seem to get out of this pattern.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So do you feel how much more grounded in you are as I name that?
Yes, actually, unbelievably grounded.
Yes, right? So this is so beautiful. Thank you so much for this example, Lorelei. Is it Lorelei or Lorelei? Sorry.
It's Lorelei. You got it right. Yeah.
Okay, great. And so, right, I just want to use this as an example of you don't have to be afraid of or dodge how you're feeling. This is you. This is your experience. It's important. It matters. It's valid. How you feel matters.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging it, looking at it matters. Okay? So now I'm going to have you, even though it doesn't feel great, we don't have to deal with it right now. We're just going to talk to it because we're not at work. We're with you and we're with what's going on with you. And let's just go to that feeling of I'm having to walk on eggshells. I'm afraid. I'm a bit frozen. Any other words come up now that we're really with it? Eggshells, frozen, afraid. Anything
you know,
else? Go ahead.
A bit of anger, like a bit of anger.
Anger, okay.
I'm tired. I feel tired. Like,
Yeah. Okay. So tired is later because. This is too repetitive, but let's go back then. Eggshells, fears. Okay. Let's just go with, I'm walking on eggshells. I'm afraid. I'm a bit frozen. And if eggshells, fear, and frozen were a place, a landscape, an environment that could show itself to you, what does it show you?
I just feel like I'm in some sort of cage, like a chicken coop or something like that.
Okay, so try to look at it.
Yep.
And let's just go with the first thing. It's a cage. I feel like I'm in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you're sensing, you can't quite see the cage. You can just feel the cage. Is that right?
No, I can actually see myself within the cage.
Okay.
And it's like, it's
what?
Like bamboo pieces that are all, I don't even know what I'm really seeing, but I am within some sort of cage that's tight and confined, and I don't have a lot of room to move in it.
Yeah, and you said it's made of bamboo, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? And you're tight and confined. Are you sitting, standing? What's your posture in the cage?
I'm standing.
You're standing. Okay. Okay. And how far apart are the bamboo stalks?
They're quite close together and quite close up against my body. Like I couldn't even get I could maybe get a hand through, but not even my whole arm through them.
Yeah, and they're tied to your body, so could you even sit if you wanted?
Not well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. That's really confining, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Really, really confining, yeah. And it feels, am I accurate, you feel physically confined by, and you feel caged in, is that accurate?
Yes, very much.
Okay. So, now, look at the ceiling. Is there... Does the cage go over the top of you?
Nope.
Interesting. Okay. So, tell me a little bit about the weather.
The weather's nice. Like, I see, the weather seems nice enough. And the sky above me I see beautiful blue sky above me. Outside of it, it just seems like, honestly, it seems... I don't really see it. Like I see part of it, but not all of it. Like I just see some of the ground, but I don't really see anything else around me. But it feels like there's other stuff just all around me and sort of like on a farm with animals moving around within a pen or something.
Interesting. You're sort of kind of guessing that that's what it's like. Is that right? So, but you're
I think because it feels like some kind of I am guessing.
Yeah, that's okay, right? But you kind of, that is this whole, I kind of get a sense it's kind of like a farm because it, you know, but I can't quite see it. I don't know, right? So I'm just helping flesh out for other people where you don't have to exactly see anything because if you, you know, you still have a sense though that I think it might be a farm. I might be wrong, but, you know, you could have sensed it was any number of things, but that's what you sensed. So we go with that, right? But is it accurate for me to say it's very, very difficult to see beyond the cage?
Yes, quite.
Right? So great information we're getting here. Do you see that? So we don't want to be afraid of being here because we're getting a lot of really good information. Okay? So would you like to leave?
Yes, I would like to leave.
Okay. So let's go ahead and call in a winged creature. And again, try not to project it. Let's just see what shows up.
It's some sort of dragon.
Okay. So the dragon comes, and can you tell if the dragon is a male or a female, and does it have any colors or anything?
I think it's a male.
Okay.
And it's a lighter color, like almost a tan color with some shiny metallic kind of colors on it, too.
Okay. Great. So let's go ahead and get on the back of the dragon, you said, is that right? And let it fly you up through the roof of the cage.
The only problem is I'm having trouble getting on the dragon.
So go ahead and make yourself smaller.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And then can you, and then is he able to pull fly you up into the sky out of the cage? And then let's just go up into the blue sky. And you had said it was a nice day, so that shouldn't take too long. How's that going?
No, that's fine. I'm up high.
Okay, great. How does it feel just to be up here in the blue sky now and out of the cage?
Oh, it feels good, and I can feel myself actually right now just being able to breathe more.
Yeah, let's let you just breathe more. Just feel the relief of that, of not being in cage, you know, in a cage, not being confined. That's the word I was going for. Just breathe that for a bit. And now let's go ahead and look over the side of the dragon and take a look at the cage from above. And what do you see?
Well, I see it falling apart, actually.
Say again?
It's falling down, like it's collapsing. The movement for me, I assume going up, almost collapsed the cage itself. There was a dust movement that shook it apart.
Okay, shook it apart. Okay, so it has fallen apart, and so the cage isn't there. And tell me, you know, as you look at the landscape where the cage was in, what is the landscape of where you were?
A bit of a mess, actually.
Well, but what is it? Is it a farm?
Oh, it looks like dirt was straw in it, and I honestly, from up here, don't see animals, but it just looks like a farm that's not been taken care of very well.
Take that in. It was an environment that hadn't been taken care of very well. Okay. Anything else you can see up there? So tell me a little bit more about it being a bit of a mess.
Just things are out of place, and it doesn't look like it's very well kept up or groomed or anything. And it almost feels like the land's been disrespected and not looked after.
Okay.
Like there's, yeah.
Okay. Great. Really good information. Super. Okay. And so now what we're going to do is, you know, for the purposes of, you know, this module and practice, we're just going to go to a place that's a sanctuary. So a place that feels really safe and nurturing to you, okay? Mm-hmm. And where you can be much more clear-headed and have a lot of room for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me a little bit more of the emotions you would like to feel in a safe place. What are some of those emotions?
Peaceful, mm-hmm. calm, and free.
Great.
A sense of freedom.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great, another piece of it that I think is really wonderful. So we're going to go to a sanctuary and where you're not only safe, but you're peaceful, calm, and free. And we're going to have the dragon take you there. And then just tell me anything you see on the way there, if you see anything at all.
It's in the mountains. It's, you know, forest area where I could camp or just walk, you know, hiking trails, et cetera, water. Very, just a lot of nature around me. Flowers, birds chirping.
Mm-hmm.
Very calming.
Have you been here before?
Yes.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. So, because you don't, you know, the tone of your voice, but it may just be you. You don't seem that like excited about it. You seemed a little bored with your sanctuary.
Oh yeah, I never even thought of that. That's interesting.
But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to impart anything in there. I'm just telling you what I'm picking up on.
I think what you might be picking up on is that when I drive there, it is actually a real place that I envision, except the drive out there stresses me a bit. So I think that might be why when I get there, it's very calming, but... maybe I'd like to be more alone in that place, like more time by myself. Okay, I'm in another place now. I can see it a little bit clearer around.
No, it's okay. So I'm just going to pause you. That's okay, because I need to teach it. That's okay. Yeah. So this is a great, great point I need to make for everybody. So particularly when we're talking about the sanctuary, it absolutely cannot be a literal place.
Oh, okay.
We're going for the environment of the mind, right? Just like the bamboo cage was not a literal place, your sanctuary mm-hmm. needs to be a reflection that shows to you a place of freedom, peace, calm, safety, and it's a place that no one else can access.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I want you to go ahead, right? So this is perfect, right? We want to then let's go back into those feelings. Get back on your bird. Let's go back up into the sky. And not a place that you have felt safe before in your life.
Okay.
Not an actual geography, but a feeling place. Feel in your body safety, freedom, calm, peace. I can really breathe. And most certainly we're not going to be bored there and we're not going to dread the drive. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So breathe into that feeling. And then if that feeling were an internal place, what does it look like to you? And let's have the dragon take you there.
It's a place that he flies through, almost like a different dimension or whatever goes through. It's like iridescent. It's got light purples, indigos, pinks going through that, but it's almost like encircled. And it's just very calming, even sitting within that space of color. Yes, it's color that I'm within.
Wow, wonderful. So you're an iridescent color.
Mm, yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about being in iridescent color.
It feels peaceful. It feels calming. It almost feels like it's something that's showering over me. And it feels like I don't have to be anything or anyone within there. I can just sit and relax and be.
Mm-hmm. So do that. Be in this color and tell me if you see or experience anything else as you do exactly what you want. You don't have to be just be instead of do in this color and see if you notice anything that changes or
Well, it opens up into a very beautiful landscape with a lot of wild flowers in the field, and that's all I see. I see sky, like grass, wild flowers, and just very calm and peaceful.
Mm-hmm. So perfect, and I'm just going to reflect back a wonderful phrase that you said. As you allowed yourself to just be in this color, which just showed up, it opened up. And can is it safe to say that you kind of are opening up?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I can feel right. Your heart is a lot more open.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was feeling it, right at my heart too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. And that is right. If we're safe, we can open our heart. Yeah. That was a beautiful example. I actually don't want to mess much with that. I'm going to let you stay there. Does that sound good?
It sounds fine. Thank you so
yeah.
much.
You're very welcome. And thank you for, you know, being willing to, you know, be a great example for everybody. I appreciate it, Lorelei.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
You're
welcome. I'm going to go ahead and mute you. And then I'm just going to, you know, hopefully a lot when you guys were listening along the line, you could see the information that was coming up. You could see the information that can be reflected back into one's own life. And so I do want Lorelei to be able to feel that. And then Lorelei, I'm going to have you try to journal about this later and what your experience was. But we want to remember the Envision shows us that we have the power to choose. So it was very significant that you can't really see beyond the cage when you're in that feeling. So when you're in that feeling at work or any time in your life, remember you can't see beyond it. You can't have perspective. So no wonder it's not going to work to try to fix it from that place. Right. Then also wanting to leave. Right. I don't quite get how it doesn't make sense how it's going to work. It might not make linear, literal sense. Right. Even in our lives, sometimes the best choices that we have to make don't make logical sense, but they're still the right choices to make. So I want you to consider that as the truth. And then, you know, you can, you know, just shift and change a little bit about where you know, what happened was you needed to get a little bit smaller in order to get out. I don't want you to get smaller in your own life, but what you might want to think about what perhaps could shrink in order for me to be able to be taken out of this. It's just some things to think about. We don't want to overanalyze. We just want to notice what came up, okay? And then we want to also, you know, notice, I want everyone to remember, particularly when we're talking about a sanctuary, we have to have an internal environment that's not an actual location that no other people can come to. And not only do we want to play with this in Envision and getting a real representative of our own internal environment instead of literal actual environments, internal safety is really, really important. So we want to go into the feelings of internal safety and have it reflected back. Then when Lorelei was able to do that, it just showed up as a color. Perfect. Let's sit in the color. Let's sit in the iridescence. Let's be showered with safety. Showered with it. And allowing that, allowing herself to be, then opened things up, opened up her heart. So just simply following the process, all of that unfolded. We most certainly could not have projected that. We most certainly could not have directed that. And it most certainly was way better than anything that we could have come up with. So we can trust this process and we want to be able to use it and not fear it. I hope that that example also showed it. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and take the next hand that I see up, and that is Dixie. Dixie, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I am. Tell
Hi.
Me a little how tell me a little bit how I can help you.
So I would like to explore, I think overwhelm is probably the most common thing that trips me up.
Right. Okay. So tell me a little bit about what overwhelm feels like and how it trips you up. We'll just do a little bit of both.
Okay. Similar to the prior call, it's often at work, especially if I'm feeling pressure and feeling inadequate and self-doubt about accomplishing something. And often too, if I'm having to, the more I'm having to be visible and put myself out there, the more intense the overwhelm is.
Okay, super. So I'm just gonna comment on this, as I also saw a question on the Facebook page from Tammy, mm-hmm. who's wondering, but after the last one, she said, but then what? You know, she's left with understanding she can interrupt the pattern. She has a choice. So the whole point of this is, in the internal mind space that you're in when you begin, you can't really make different choices. You're going to stay stuck in it, as you can see that, right? Mm-hmm. Once we get to a different internal place, and then we journal and we look at what our actual choices are instead of what it feels like our choices are when we're stuck, we choose from a different place, if that makes sense, right? So I'm having to teach this in step by step by step, and we do, like, I'm just going to say that if we're in a safe place, and then we want to think about our work environment and what choices might be made there, we can mm-hmm. actually get a lot better information and make a lot better choices when we feel safe than we can when we feel caged. But we've actually never addressed the problem from a place of safety. We've only tried to solve it from a place of caged.
Right.
And it's also not necessarily something that needs to be solved immediately. We want to change our internal environment, restore our power to choose, restore our power to look at the work environment differently. So that if, let's say, I was able to access safety every day at work, my experience of work might be completely different than when I access my experience at work from a place of caged. I thought that it was the work environment that made me feel caged, but the truth is, I felt that repeatedly my whole life. It's me that's the constant, not the external. So moving to a different place empowers us to make different choices from a different internal view. So hopefully that makes sense. Sorry, I'm trying to answer that as I go, right? And wouldn't you agree then, given the example that you just said, that largely when you're in a work environment, you feel overwhelmed because you feel inadequate and you feel doubtful.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
You're afraid to be visible. So it's actually not the work, right? The work is the trigger, but anything mm-hmm. can trigger it. It's that I don't quite know how to function and to deal when I feel overwhelmed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? And overwhelm is really, really familiar to me.
Yeah.
And it's the only place I've ever known how to try to approach things, and it's not working. Right?
Yeah.
So this is just really helping us all understand what we're doing and how we're getting ourselves to a different landscape to be able to make different choices from a different perspective. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead then and look at your landscape of overwhelm. Okay. So although it's really, really uncomfortable, let's really get into the, you know, what causes the overwhelm is these feelings of, I feel inadequate. I feel self-doubt. I'm afraid to be seen. It feels there's a bit of an intense pressure that you're feeling. Is that also true?
Yes.
Is there anything else you can add or would like to add to that as you're feeling into it?
I think it's just, you know, it goes along the lines of probably some of the doubt and uncertainty is just like a distrust in my ability to meet expectations.
I have a distrust in my ability to meet expectations. Yeah. Yeah. And that feels what?
It feels scary. It almost even feels a little embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just name it, right? This is how we get to know it better. It feels mm-hmm. scary and embarrassing. Like, I don't even want to admit it, how I feel.
And Yeah, and it feels like kind of that imposter syndrome, right? Like it feels like, I don't know how to give that a feeling.
Well, is it I'm not enough?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not enough. I can't.
Yeah, like I'm going to be, you know, found out that like I'm not able to do it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, like you're not able to do it is more about the task than the feeling, right? It's more this because the truth is, if you don't try to be visible and you don't do it, you have no idea if you're enough.
Correct. Right.
Right. You're just right. So there's no right. That's the other thing that's kind of odd about the imposter syndrome is like posing as who? You're not posing. Right.
Right.
So I'm paralyzed.
Yes, paralyzed. That resonates a lot.
Okay, yeah. So let's just, right, so we just sort of, this is also the other thing that's really hard for all of us, and so I so appreciate all of you being able to, you know, take me just slowing it down, interrupting a little bit to slow it down. Let's go back. What are we dealing with that's been overlooked and storied over? And, right? So now, you know, I just, you know, I'm paralyzed and I'm afraid and I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Okay. So if that, you know, those feelings were a landscape, paralyzed and embarrassed and afraid, I don't know what to do, were a landscape and it could show itself to you, what does that look like to you?
It looks like I'm up on a platform. So imagining like almost like a wooden square platform that's just big enough for me to stand and balance on, that's on like a really tall pole, almost like one of those outdoor treetop obstacle kind of course things where you have to sort of either, you know, swing to the next platform or somehow, you know, get to the next platform, and it feels wobbly and secure.
Yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. So
yeah.
I'm just curious, have you ever done one of those things?
I've done zip lining.
Okay.
Which it's yeah.
But not this.
But
so
not
I
that specifically.
Curious.
Yeah, no.
I was just curious if this is a situation you've been in. Yeah.
But
so
it reminds me of that feeling. I can imagine people down there looking up at me, like waiting for me to do it, and me feeling like, yeah. I don't want to mess up in front of them, and I'm afraid and uncertain and want to be somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also really interesting though. I mean, I think this is just really interesting that like this is precisely why those courses are built, because everybody feels this way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we overcome them, by actually doing them. So it's interesting that that's what came up, right? And that in general, when we're doing this type of activity, because this is where you are, look down. Are there people down there?
There are a few people, and it feels like, you know, what have I gotten myself into?
Yeah. Do you know them?
No, which almost makes me feel more scared, because I feel like, you know, making a first impression or something, it's almost like I would feel safer if they were people I did know.
Yeah, that's just also really interesting. I feel safer with people that I do know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, but is it also not true in this type of environment that the people who are there with you, they're doing nothing but cheering? Have you ever been to one of those things, like a zip line, where the people down there were like waiting to judge and hoping you fail?
No. Thank goodness, no.
Yeah, so isn't that's interesting, though, that's how you're feeling, even though that's not what that is. I just find
And I know I would be encouraging anybody else who was in my place. So.
Yes, and I'm also just wondering if at work people are not in your corner, you just don't feel like that's true.
Right. I can imagine,
Doesn't that sound like that's a possibility?
Yes, it does.
And doesn't it sound like each time you felt like you were an imposter, not up to it, and thought people were going to judge you, they actually were just rooting for nothing but your success?
Yes.
It's possible. So, great. We just want to hold that. it's possible. So now as you stand there, so I'm just going to use this again as a teaching moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because these feelings happen so early and we attach a story to them, when they come up to us later in life, we go straight to the old story instead of what's actually happening in the present moment. And I suspect this is exactly a perfect example of that. Does that make sense?
It makes very much sense, yes.
Right? So in your past, there was a point where people were judging you and it was unsafe. And so now we just project that onto every time we have the internal feeling. But this lens, does that make sense?
That's connecting, yes.
Yes, okay. This is perfect because this is what we're getting to. And this landscape has shown itself to you, and I might even say for the whole class, for us to really make that connection.
Right. That's making a lot of sense.
Okay, great. That's so great. So we love the symbolism that's showing up. This is just like high tens all around. I can actually feel the class going, aha, aha, aha. And yes, we're all cheering for you. Yeah? Yeah. So wonderful. Now that we sort of talked that and you're on this, you're still on it, has anything changed about this environment that you're in?
I think I'm noticing, before I would have said that the people's faces were a little bit fuzzy, and now I think I see their faces a little more clearly and see that they are friendlier than I imagined them to be.
Yeah.
And the platform actually feels a little more stable.
Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted, you know, again, to reiterate the learning that we're doing. As your internal feeling changed and you kind of got an aha,
mm-hmm.
what was shown to you changed. It reflected back to you the internal feeling of,
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It is, isn't it? And doesn't it feel better to be here? And does it not feel more truthful?
Yes, it does feel more truthful.
Mm. And there's a lot we can really, we're always safe in the truth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're standing there now, I'm just curious. Would you like to leave? Or is there more to be done here? Like,
I think I feel less intimidated, but would probably, I'm still craving like a sense of security. It's sort of like, now what, how would I, you know, I'm not sure I would want to get down and would feel safe with the people down there, but not necessarily ready to leap, if that
makes
sense.
Yes, fair enough. That's great. That's kind of what I was asking. So then we always just want to ask ourselves, what would we like to do? And you checked right in. And if you had said, I think I'm going to try this thing now, we would have tried it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what's true for you. I kind of feel like I don't want to do that. Okay, let's not do that. Let's do your choice. So we're going to go ahead and call in a winged creature now. And who comes for you?
Okay.
Yeah, try not to project it. Let it come. Let it choose you. Receive.
It's like a dove-type bird.
Okay, great. So let's let the dove come. And does the dove have a name?
No.
Okay. So you're going to get on the back of the dove, and it either gets bigger or you get smaller, either one.
Okay.
And then we're going to have you fly straight up into the blue sky. And
okay.
Yeah, and then tell me how you feel now that you're up there.
Secure.
And what else? Just breathe the air and tell me how you're feeling.
I feel secure. I feel curious. Now I'm curious about where I was and feel safer.
Okay. So let's go ahead then and look over the side and see what you see from this perspective that you couldn't see from the other's perspective.
I can see that it was, that it doesn't look as tough as it looks like, you know, it's almost like I can recognize now that there were safety measures available and I just wasn't allowing myself to see them when I was on the platform.
I'm just going to reiterate that safety measures were available. I was not allowing myself to see them. Great. Okay. And anything on the, anything else on the outside of it or anything else about it from up there that, you know, does it feel like, let me ask this, does it feel like a friendly place?
Yes, yes. Like somewhere I would want to go in general, yes.
Somewhere I'd like to go in general, that's really good to know. Great. Okay. So now, instead of the sanctuary, okay, because I'm just going to give an example of how, you know, unlimited envision is.
Sure.
When you're feeling overwhelmed at work, what would you rather feel?
Confident.
And what else? Like capable.
Capable, yeah. And trusted, yes. And I do think,
well,
I'm trusted. I think capable is really the word.
Yeah, and I was going to say trusted is something other people do.
Right, right, yeah.
Right? So how would you like to feel? Confident and capable. What else? How about, what else? Really, really allow yourself to name what you'd like to feel. And just try a few more synonyms for confident.
Okay. Confident, capable, sure of myself.
Yeah.
Like able to figure things out. And I'd
yeah.
Inspired and enthusiastic would be nice.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking, right? So like, you know, people in general, right, if we feel confident and capable and sure of ourselves, then we kind of move a little bit. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's go, right? That's not a, that's not really a place of hesitation. It's not a place
yes.
of doubt.
I was just thinking of, I'm always feel like I'm holding back a little, and you said hesitation. That makes perfect sense. Yes.
Yes, right? We're not holding back.
Right.
We're just going for it. I'm just, I want to feel like I can go for it.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good, good, good. So now with all of that, feel that in your body. And now we're going to have the dove take us to the landscape that represents all of those things. And let it fly you there. And tell me when you get there.
I'm not seeing a lot of visual, but it just feels, it feels like a place that's open without limits, without a lot of boundaries and limits, but in a good way.
Yes, I hear what you're saying.
Like I can just kind of make my own path.
Mm-hmm. So even though you can't see much, right? So are you standing there? Are you in the landscape? Did you get off the dove or?
Yes, I'm standing on a surface. I'm standing on ground.
Can you tell? Is it grass? Can you tell? It's okay if you can't. I just am trying to orient you a little bit.
Yeah, it feels like an outdoor landscape. I'm just not seeing a lot of detail.
Yeah, that's fine. But you feel like you're grounded and you've landed there, yeah?
Yes.
And isn't it also safe to say this is kind of unfamiliar? You don't know it well.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could figure out my, like I don't feel afraid of exploring it.
Yes, I could explore this. Okay. And I could figure it out, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So this answers the question a little bit better, too, that Tammy asked. Now, let's say you went into work and this was your internal environment.
I would love that.
Well, it's yours. You just had it, right?
Yeah.
Right? And it doesn't really, right? So we want to carry with us. So I would encourage you to spend time, like, I know I could explore this place. Then I would encourage you to spend time exploring it.
Right.
And I would encourage you to go ahead and spend time exploring it while you're at work. No one even has to know.
I like that idea.
Right? I'm just practicing being in this landscape where I am ready to go and I'm confident and capable. And I live here. I live in this environment. I live in this environment of myself. and I'm living in it right now while I'm at work. How does work change for me? Because this is where I live. Right? So you don't even actually have to do anything. You want to experience work from this place.
And I can't imagine definitely how that would make all the difference.
Yeah, so now you get to go out and live it and watch it make all the difference. And experience yourself making all the difference because you're in a different internal environment and the external environment doesn't have to change one bit.
I know you can't see me, but I have a big smile right now.
Great. I'm smiling too, Dixie. That was such a great process.
Thank you so much.
Such a great learning tool. And I do want to thank you as well for being vulnerable. I know it's not easy to say out loud in front of people, I feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
But look at how powerful when we can do that. Look at how it takes the sting out of it. Look at how, right? We can do this. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Dixie. I'm going to go ahead and mute you there. And then I'm actually going to, I see we have more hands than I can get to because the call does go only until 6 and I actually do have something at 6. And so I don't think I can get another person in. So I'm not going to be able to give another example, but I feel really, really good about the two examples that I gave. And so now I'm going to just ask if you have any questions. I'm actually going to go ahead and lower the hands that are up because I can't coach you. So I'm going to lower those hands. But if you have a question or a clarification about those examples and how the Envision process, especially this question, where am I, works and how to work with it, please raise your hand or post your question. And I'm going to look here so that I can just kind of tie this up and give you as much information as I can here. Just reading the questions. Don't see any on that page. And I go into the Q&A. Yeah, and then I don't, you know, in terms of, you know, just calling into the call, when you click on the event that's in the Facebook page, it goes straight to 3 different options. You can either phone in, you can web call in, or you can broadcast. And if you go to broadcast, you're not going to be able to raise your hand. So if you were in there originally, I think you probably have to get out of it, come back in, click on it, and choose web call instead. And that's how you're going to be able to raise your hand. Hopefully that answers that technical question. Okay, everyone. I'm going to go back. Does anybody else have your hand up? Nope, I think we got it. So thank you all so much for this class and for those of you who volunteered and for everybody engaging with this work. It's really, really powerful. Feel free to use the Facebook page to ask any questions as you go along, and I'm happy to answer them. And I, you know, I'm going to go ahead and post a study buddy thread as well so that you can practice with each other. It just really helps sometimes to have somebody be there with you so that you can talk it through, so that you just have a partner to say, you know, the questions that I'm saying, what are you feeling? And what are the emotions? Can you name them? And then, you know, if those emotions were a landscape, what do they look like? And you have someone else maybe taking notes for you while you go through it. And then you switch partners and you practice that way. So you don't necessarily have to be a coach. You're just practicing the process itself. And then I just also want to go over the home play things and everything that's available to you. So in the first 2 weeks in the home play sections, you should have audio home plays of the Chatterbox and the Observing Thoughts Mindfully. And I'll go ahead and email Jill and make sure that those are in there. Then Colette also provides an example of a fictional client, Nancy, that, you know, many of you will be able to relate to. And then you can work with that and journal on that and answer the questions she asks about that. We have a subconscious article and a resource list for you to look at. We have a symbols guide and transcripts for all the calls, as well as Dr. Joe's interview. So I will put in a call to make sure that the audios are there with Jill. I mean, I'll put in an email. And there's so much to work with in such a short amount of time. I just encourage you to do as much as you can and to ask any questions that you have, because that's why I'm here. Okay, that's it, everyone. If there's no questions, I'm just going to hit refresh to make sure there's not a question, and then we will end the call. Thank you so, so much. And I will see you on the Facebook page and next week for Module C. Bye, everyone.